Every morning lean thine arms a while upon the windowsill of heaven and gaze upon thy Lord. Then with a vision in thy heart, turn strong to meet thy day. May the hand of the Lord touch you. May his Holy Spirit fill you. May the breath of God breathe upon you. And during these 30 minutes of worship, may he draw your heart and mine closer to himself.
Told heaven that I was on my way. tall and free. I heard the twist of meeting with love who's gone before. Oh, what a celebration, folder on the golden shore. Oh, what a celebration, oh, what a jubilee. Oh, what a great camp meeting when the spirits are made free. I wouldn't miss the meeting with love who's gone before. Oh, what a celebration, over on the golden shore.
Well, that's a good thought, isn't it? What a celebration that's going to be over on the Golden Shore. This is the hope of the Christian. It isn't some pie-in-the-sky theory, something that is obscure or make-believe. It is God's Word. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. And it is going to be a time of celebration. Well, the main thing is that we hold out to the end, isn't it? That we don't stumble along the way and give up and quit, but that we make it. That we hold out to the very end. Well, David said in the Psalms, Psalm 94, verse 18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. I love that verse of Scripture because lots of people do quit. They make a beautiful start, and then they wither up and die. And they can't. They quit. I don't want to be a quitter. As the writer to the Hebrews said, we are not of them who turn back to perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. We don't want to be quitters. What David said in that verse that I just gave you, Lord, this is what holds me up. When my foot starts slipping, it is your mercy. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And mercy is a beautiful word. What an interesting study that would make in the Scriptures for you. The word mercy means to feel sympathy with the misery of another, and especially sympathy manifested in act. Not just to feel something, but to do something about it, to have pity. It is the outward manifestation of pity. It assumes need on the part of him who receives it, like you and me, and resources adequate to meet that need on the part of him who shows it, a loving heavenly Father. Mercy, to have compassion, to show loving kindness. And that's exactly what David was saying, was the thing that held him up when he felt his foot beginning to slip. He said, O Lord, it is your mercy that holds me up. Let me briefly tell you about three wonderful things regarding the mercies of the Lord as we read about it in the Scripture. Number one, the mercies of the Lord are tender. Psalm 25, verse 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And note here that the word loving kindness in the Old Testament is always translated as such from the same Hebrew word rendered mercy. In Psalm 94, verse 18, that I gave you initially, where David said, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. So when you come across that word loving kindness, it always means mercy. This shows that mercy and loving kindness are inseparable. The Lord's tender mercies and loving kindnesses are vividly portrayed in such heartwarming stories as the lost sheep and the prodigal son. His mercies are tender. Secondly, his mercies are rich. Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And back in the Psalms again, Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The Lord is rich in mercies. For as the heaven is high above the earth, So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. What beautiful imagery that is. I always enjoy thinking of that. What vast dimensions of God's mercies. The psalmist said, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Well, how high is the heaven above the earth? If you want to catch some dimensions of the richness of God's mercy, just figure out how high the heavens are above the earth. That's how high the psalmist said God's mercies are, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Well, astronomers tell us that, well, take for instance the Andromeda galaxy of stars is 3 million light years distant from Earth. That means that a beam of light traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second would take 3 million years to reach that far-flung galaxy. But galaxies have been seen through giant telescopes far, far beyond Andromeda. That's how high the mercies of the Lord are. An inexhaustible supply, as high as the heavens are above the earth. And thirdly, his mercies are everlasting. Not only are the mercies of the Lord which hold us up when our foot starts to slip, not only are they tender, not only are they rich, but they are everlasting. Again in Psalm 103, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And you remember it is in Psalm 136 where every one of its 26 verses close with these words, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, thank God, his mercies don't just start and then fizzle out. His mercies are forever. They are everlasting. Oh, dear friend, don't you know that if you would just stop running away from God and start running towards God, you would receive of his tender, rich, and everlasting mercies instead of his wrath? As Isaiah said it in Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, the mercies of God, what a theme for my song. Oh, I never could number them, or they're more than the stars in the heavenly dome, or the sands on the wave-beaten shore. For mercies so great, what return can I make? For mercies so constant and true, I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure. Dear friends, God has provided himself a lamb of offering, a lamb of sacrifice, a substitute for you and me, so that as sinners, we weren't put to death. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was. Is that not a proclamation of his mercies, so tender, rich, everlasting? I've waited. God has provided a lamb.
For this child I see, can you tell me somehow what to say to him now? As he looks up at me, God will provide.
Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. If in this very moment you would just look up to heaven and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I do believe in you. You are the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the whole world, slain for my sins. You died on the cross so that I would not have to die eternally, but I could live. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. I put my trust in you as my Lord and Savior. And you know what? If you would pray that prayer, as simple as it is, and trust God, thou shalt be saved. Right now, this very moment. How long does it take for the light of heaven to come bursting into your heart and soul? As long as it takes for you to open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, said Jesus. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And the very moment that you open the door of your heart, in that moment, Christ the Lord, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, comes into your heart and life. And a lot of wonderful things happen in that precise moment. A lot of things happen. The very moment that you believe in Jesus in saving faith and you trust him as your Lord and Savior, a lot of things happen. I can tell you quickly at least 15 things that happen when you believe in Jesus and you open the door of your heart and you're saved, which can happen right now as you're driving along in your automobile on your way to work, or as you're finishing getting ready to go to work, or while you're still lying up in bed listening to the broadcast. I can tell you at least 15 things that will happen to you if you open your heart and say, Jesus, I love you. I want to be a Christian. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Number one, there is rejoicing among the angels of heaven when you pray that kind of a prayer and you believe in the Lord. Luke 15, verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And secondly, in that precise moment that you open the door of your heart to Christ, your name is recorded in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life, Luke 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Number three, you become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Number four, you come out of darkness into marvelous light. In that precise moment that you put your trust in Christ as Savior. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Number five, a new principle of life now controls you. And I love this verse in Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Sin's tyranny has been broken, has lost its hold over you, because a new law, a new principle is working in your heart and life, and that new principle is called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is very much the same that happens in the springtime when that new life of spring begins to flow through the branches and it causes those dead dry leaves holding on tenaciously to that tree that winter has killed. The new life of spring pushes them out. They lose their hold, their grip, and a new life takes over. And that's what happens when you open the door of your heart to the Lord. A new principle of life now controls you. Number six, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Number seven, you are born again. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Number eight, you become a new member of the family of God. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And I think that one thing is magnificent, to think that you are no longer alone, but you are a part of the great family of God. I'm not talking about churches and denominations and church names. I'm talking about those who, like yourself, would be born again, who believe in Jesus, who love the Lord, whose sins are forgiven and washed in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. You become a part of that household of faith. Number nine, you are now justified, that is, declared righteous. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 10, your sins are all forgiven. Colossians 1, 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 11, Christ now dwells in your heart. John 14, 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Number 12, you are raised from the dead and made alive. Ephesians 2, 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Number 13, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Number 14, once you were far away from God, but now you are near. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. And number 15, your behavior has been changed. Ephesians 2, verses 2 through 4, in which in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, you see, a change has come in that precise moment when you open your heart to Jesus. I'm not saying you're a full-grown Christian, far from it, but at least you have started on the journey. And as you take that first step toward heaven, there are angels rejoicing in heaven. Your name is recorded in heaven. You have become a new person. You've come out of darkness into light. And there is a new principle of life now controlling you. You have started on a journey toward heaven. And now, dear child of God, continue journeying on. Now grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You repented of your sins. You opened your heart's door to the Savior. Christ now lives within your heart. Now continue walking on that journey. And remember, when your foot begins to slip, what holds you up? It is the mercies of the Lord that hold us up. Journey on, my child, until we make heaven our home. Well, dear friends, thanks for listening to Morning Devotions today. This is John Thrasher. Our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. I hope you have a good day. May God's very best be yours.
Our children of the heavenly King.